Blog Talk Radio.
That's right. Wake up, everybody. Welcome to MPH Radio. Today's day is Saturday, October 16, 2021. Today's theme is Voices from Indigenous People Day 2021. That's right. We're going to have Voices from Indigenous People Day today. This is going to be a fact platform so they can articulate from their perspective what's going on in our community and the importance of this particular event. But before we bring on our voices for Indigenous People Day 2021, we'd like to welcome everybody again to MPH Radio and remind you that MPH Radio is a community program for missing pages of history. It's a bi-weekly program. We come on every Saturday at the same time at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, U.S. Today's theme of the program will entail first giving you something to think about. What is freedom? Then we'll go to our feature story today. We can hear voices from Indigenous People Day, followed by Black Many Facts and a message to the community from Alice. That's our order of events for today. At this point in time on MPH Radio, we're going to begin to fill in our missing pages of history by asking you this question. as we give you something to think about, we're going to talk about this concept of freedom. You know, freedom is something that is often fought over, died over, hundreds and thousands of years, and people are still trying to figure out what is this concept of freedom. Well, we've chosen some historical figures who gave their perception of freedom, and we want to share that with you today, their perspective of freedom is to them. And maybe you want to think about how does it apply into your daily lives. The first concept comes from Sojourner Truth. She stated, truth is powerful and it prevails. Sojourner Truth stated, truth is powerful and it prevails. That's her concept of freedom. What do you think about that? Next, we go to the question of what is freedom from a Sasha Shakur perspective. She once stated that, I'm not quite sure what freedom is, but I know damn well what it ain't. How have we gotten so silly, I wonder? Let me read that one again from Sister Sasha Shakur. She stated, in her concept of trying to articulate freedom, I'm not quite sure what freedom is, but I know damn well what it ain't. How have we gotten so silly, I wonder? And the last concept of freedom for today's program, to give you something to think about, comes from Claudette Colvin. It stated, I know then and I know now, when it comes to justice, there's no easy way to get it. Claudette Colvin, she stated, I know then and I know now, when it comes to justice, there is no easy way out. They have given us their perspectives on what is freedom. We would like to know what is yours. Think about it. At this point in time, we're going to take a quick break. We'll mess with the music. And then when we come back, we're going to have a feature story today, which will come from Voices from Indigenous People Day. We will hear voices from Indigenous people who participated in this important event. So right now, when we come back, we're going to have those voices. This is MPH Radio. Welcome back.
Can't take
That's right. They can't take away our dignity. We're going to teach the children the right way. And the best way to do this is to speak truth to the powerless and the powerful. Right now, we're going to speak truth to the powerless and the powerful by bringing in voices from the Indigenous People Day. We have us with us right now. We have with us our brother Jay Winter Knife Wolf and Chief Opera Red Cloud. They will come and share their perspective on what this particular day meant to them and their people. And they're going to share some special messages in terms of what they want you to know as it relates to their people's daily struggles. Right now, Brother Jay, we would like to welcome you to MPH Radio. And how are you doing today, Brother Jay?
I'm doing just fine, brother. It's an honor to be here with you. First of all, let me introduce myself. I'm Cherokee, Shoshone, and Taino. And my people, the Cherokee people, are from South Carolina. My Shoshone people are from around Nebraska. And the Taino people are from the island of Puerto Rico. So, and then I got a dog here. He don't know how to keep it. Go, calm it down. Taking it back. Okay, thank you. First, I would like to give you some information on what Indigenous Peoples Day is. Can you still hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay. It started out as Columbus Day, which we don't have any respect for or anything to do with that name. Columbus was the one that invaded us. Never got to the United States, but he did all of his dirt in the Caribbean, in Cuba, Puerto Rico, and places like that. Columbus was not, he was not Spanish. He was not Italian. He was born on the island of Mallorca off the coast of Spain. And his parents were Sephardic Jews. So the people of Spain, King Juan Carlos and Queen Sophia, have disavowed every action that he did in the Western Hemisphere. He opened up the doors of slavery, where our brothers and sisters from Africa started to be stolen, bought, and whatever. And they were not slaves. They were enslaved. So my sisters and brothers, you need to understand that. Africans did not start out as slaves. We had a concerted effort over the last 10 to 15 years to get rid of this stigma of Columbus. A lot of my friends that are governors and heads of state throughout the United States have all moved to change that. So we moved it, and we got legislation approved that this day, henceforth and forevermore, will be known as Indigenous Peoples Day. I am so proud to be here today with one of my brothers from Texas, and Texas was called Tejas. And he is the seventh generation grandson of Chief Red Cloud that fought against the 7th Cavalry back in the 1800s and became known for his deeds and actions as a warrior and protector of his people. His name is Arthur Red Cloud. In a few minutes, I'm going to introduce you to him. But those of you that don't know me, I've been a radio broadcaster nationally for 22 years out of Washington, D.C. I am no longer with that radio station, but now I have my own television show. You can go to YouTube and just type in Jay Winter Nightwolf Live, every Wednesday afternoon or evening from 6, 7 until 8. Beginning the first Sunday in November, I'll be back on the radio nationally and internationally on Radio 1. So that's something you need to look out for. My show, The Indigenous People, Native American Indians Truth, the most dangerous show on media anywhere. So thank you so much, Brother Lee, for allowing me to say these few words. I now want to introduce my brother and my friend, Arthur Red Cloud, and I'm going to put him on the phone right now. Thank you, Lee. Appreciate you, bro.
Thank you, brother.
Madakiyoti, which means how are my relatives? I am Arthur Red Cloud, seven generations of Chief Red Cloud. I'm not Chief Red Cloud. I am the grandsons, seven generations of Chief Red Cloud. Just a slight correction. My mother is Navajo, from descendant of Chief Manuelito. Their relatives lived in the Arizona desert and mountains. So my mother is Navajo, so I come from the Dene people. My father is Chief Red Cloud from Oklahoma Sioux, Lakota, Pine Ridge, on the Pine Ridge Reservation, South Dakota. There's been a narrative that's been put out many winters, years, thousands of years ago, hundreds of years ago, about what Indigenous People Day was supposed to be. But with the white settlers coming here, making a proclamation to make it Columbus Day that he discovered this country, but he didn't discover anything. He just got lost and called it Indians because he thought he landed in India, not knowing he landed on the most powerful nations, First Nations and Southern Nations of Native Americans land, which we were all at one time one country. So therefore, in the past, when governments and Europeans came in and stole this land from all our ancestors and elders, they wanted to be more supreme. They wanted to take everything we had taken care of since the beginning of time, because the teachings were being passed down from one generation to the next until 1492, when we were all segregated and took off our reservation, took off all our land, and to put in southern or northern or eastern or western parts of the country, to said, therefore, we cannot move past those state lines or boundaries. At that time, they were just called boundary markers of where we couldn't go or where we couldn't be at. So in time, this had come to pass to where Christopher Columbus Day was always celebrated, when people didn't know the true history, the real history of who he was and what he did. And they just told the stories of just him, you know, discovering something, someone, where he was put on this pedestal of some kind of hero. Now, our chiefs and ancestors and elders have been trying to change this narrative for centuries. And as of recently to be, and we've been trying to change Christopher Columbus Day into Indigenous Day for the last 20 years. So coming to current events, knowing that Indigenous Day is going to be forever put as Indigenous Day, and therefore Christopher Columbus Day is forever gone. I come here today to speak for those ancestors and elders who didn't have a voice, whose voice was put out, whose voice was silenced, whose voice was degraded and just changed by white men's religion or white men's, I guess, teachings or whatever you want to call it, white supremacists, dealing even with the KKK too. So I come here today just to return of what was once was ours and what should always will be ours. Because today with the world and how our animals have suffered tremendously in more ways than one, we've had over 50 different types of animals, creatures, relatives that have gone to past. They're no longer here. They have been extinct because of climate, because of oil and gas, because of white men's white supremacy of the way they think we should live. So I thank you for giving me an opportunity to speak on a day of what Indigenous Peoples Day is, goes way beyond what freedom truly is. Because we say freedom only in past tense, but we never really mean it in present or even future tense. And that goes beyond what the word freedom really means. And that means every level of connection, of being bonded by our relatives from across the seas to even our relatives in our own backyard. That would be the animals, the four-legged, the two-legged, the water animals, the sky animals. All those are our relatives. The animals that walk the earth, those are our relatives. What Indigenous Peoples Day should mean, but also what means today and tomorrow and into the years and centuries and to come, is not just freedom, not just a right, but our own democracy, our own way of life. The true way of life of what the way life should have gone with us, for us. The way we were living centuries and years and ago. So I want to thank you for just letting me speak for our people, for different nations, our relatives, and our allies of what people have been trying to do to change Columbus Day into Indigenous Day. So I'm going to give you back to Jay Nightwolf, Bopala, which means thank you.
Thank you, my brother.
Lee, I wanted to add a couple of things to that. When the Europeans came here, they didn't come here on a friendly basis. They actually invaded us. Before they got here, we had 1,200 established nations of people. And our centralized government was located 30 miles east of East St. Louis, Missouri, and it was called Cahokia, where our people got together every year. We sent our relatives and our representatives to sit in council with one another. The white man knew nothing about democracy when he came across those waters. And he saw with the Haudenosaunee people, the people of New York State, the ones that we call Mohawks, Onondagas, people like that. They had established a great law of peace. And Benjamin Franklin along with his powdered wig wearing, tight pants wearing, buckle shoes wearing, butted up to the Haudenosaunee, and read the Great Law of Peace. And Benjamin Franklin and his cohorts stole the Great Law of Peace. And that's where the United States Constitution came from. We were the authors of that document. And there's so much more that I could tell you about these people. You know, before the white man even thought about traveling across the ocean, the people from Phoenicia, the Phoenicians, that they claim were white ocean-going sailors, no, they were not. I got the history on them. They were black ocean-going sea merchants from the continent of Africa that had established international trade on the high seas. They didn't come here to marginalize anybody, to subjugate anybody, or to take anything from anybody. They came here because they heard that there was a people on the other side of that big pond that they call the Atlantic Ocean, and they wanted to see who they were. They came in friendship. And some of the tribes or nations from up the northeast part of the United States got involved in international trade by traveling on their big ships with them across the Atlantic Ocean and everywhere else. There's so much untalked about and unspoken history about what was going on in the Western Hemisphere before the white man came. There was a group called The Last Port that they wrote, they made a song called Before the White Man Came. There was so much development and going-ons and medicines, and we already had neurosurgery before the white man came. We were doing everything that we needed to do to survive as a people, as human beings. But this fool Columbus, in 1452, the Pope of the Roman Catholic Church in the Vatican issued a Catholic edict called the Papal Bulls. You need to, you know, those listening, go look this stuff up and you'll find this to be true. The Papal Bulls told Europeans that if you go anywhere in the world and you find people that don't look like you, act like you, agree with you, and refuse to become a member of the Roman Catholic Church, then you have the right, the divine right, out of the Vatican, from the Pope, to either subdue them, which means enslave them, or outright murder them. And anything that they had that you wanted to use, you had the divine right from the Roman Catholic Church to take it from them, provided you give 10% back to the Roman Catholic Church. That's how this whole racist thing started, as far back as 1452. You don't have to believe me. Just go look it up. And I'm very grateful to you, Lee, my brother, for allowing us to give you just a glimpse into the history of the Western Hemisphere and into our people. And we would be more than happy to come back another date.
Yes, we definitely would like to invite you back. But one quick question for you, Brother Maxwell. Can you give our listening audience any kind of contact number for people who might would like to work with your nation, invite you to our community to find out more about your history and your people's struggles? How can they get in touch with you and Brother Red Cloud?
You can email me by going to my name, J-A-Y, Winter, W-I-N-T-E-R, Nightwolf, N-I-G-H-T, W-O-L-F, that's jwinternightwolf, @gmail.com. And I'll be more than happy to answer your questions and inquiries and share more of the real history of the Western Hemisphere, not the lies the white man told. Thank you so much, brother.
And we'd like to thank you and Brother Red Cloud for sharing your perspectives from an indigenous perspective and helping us to fill in one of our many pages of missing pages of the history of the indigenous people. And, of course, we'd like to extend the invitation for you to come back and continue to share your history with our people and the rest of the world. We thank both of you for your contribution to today's program. We thank you.
One thing I didn't mention, you know, when you talk to Arthur Red Cloud, you know about the movie star Leonardo DiCaprio, right? There was a movie that was made 2 years ago called Revenant, R-E-V-E-N-A-N-T. And he was a co-star with Leonardo DiCaprio. Leonardo DiCaprio was being attacked by a big grizzly bear, and he played the part of Leonardo DiCaprio's son. And this brother was the one that pulled that big grizzly bear off of Leonardo and saved his life. Arthur is he doesn't like to brag about himself, but, you know, he's my nephew, and I'll brag about him. But anyway, thank you again, Lee. It's been an honor and a pleasure. And we will be talking again in the very near future.
We are due, and we thank both of you again. Dear listening audience, this is MPH Radio. We're talking today from a perspective of listening to voices from Indigenous People Day. You just heard two individuals from the Indigenous community from the Western Hemisphere spoke, and we will continue to hear from Indigenous people in the Western Hemisphere by bringing in our sister, Penny Williams. Penny Williams, welcome to MPH Radio.
Hi, Lee. Thank you for having me on. Before I give any information about, you know, what I've done, who I am, I want to acknowledge this land that I'm on here in the D.C. metropolitan area, the land of the Piscataway people, Kanoi, and the land of the Nacashtank people, the people who take care of this land and the rivers and the waterways. And I give thanks for what Mother Earth has provided for us, and hope to be a better steward of this land. Aho, thank you for letting me share that. I'm Penny Gamble Williams. I am Chappaquiddick, a member of the Chappaquiddick tribe of the Wampanoag Nation out of Massachusetts. I serve as the spiritual leader, spiritual elder, and I'm proud to say that I am an elder. And also the president of our nonprofit side of our tribal nation. And I've kind of been in the trenches for a very long time. I was also the former Sunk Squaw or chief of our tribal nation, and member of AIM and Women of All Red Nations, being an activist, you know, during those times of the 70s, and, you know, supporting the Black Panther Party and all of those important times. And also had been involved in radio for 29 years here in the D.C. Area, starting with actually WOL as a guest somebody who could, you know, give them information on what was happening in Indian country. And so that was back in 92. And eventually I was given the opportunity to have a show back in, 1999, and then we went on the air in 2000 and stayed on until about 2013. So that's a little bit about my background. And so much was shared about Indigenous Peoples Day by, you know, Jay Winter Nightwolf and Arthur Red Cloud. I don't want to, you know, repeat all of that because it was very vital information that they shared. I do like to say that from 1492 to 2021, that's 529 years of a history filled with lies to hide the truth. And so finally, Indigenous voices are being raised and gradually being heard. And we like to say that every day is Indigenous Peoples Day. And it's so important for people to learn about the history of indigenous peoples of this Western Hemisphere, you know, from Alaska all the way down to the tip of South America and all of the islands. Because a lot of people do not know. They don't pay attention, and they're not really getting this information in the history books in the school system. So it's vital for people to have that knowledge so we can have a better balance as we journey through life. I tend to look at things from a spiritual perspective because sometimes that's, of course, lacking. Not that schools have to talk about that, but I'm really concerned about the educational system all throughout this country. And as you all know, in certain parts of the country, they're trying to eliminate the history of indigenous people. It's ridiculous, but that's one of the things that's happening. Of African American history, certain aspects of it, in terms of slavery, because also Native Americans were enslaved. So a lot of these things are going to be eliminated because of this quote unquote fear of white people who are afraid of the truth. I mean, let's just call it like it is. So having Indigenous Peoples Day is pretty radical right now and really important because that's a time when information can really be put out there where people can hear it and see it. Because right now, we're all dealing with all of the things that are happening around the world in terms of the environment. We can also look at the political things that are happening. But the environment is a very major piece. And this is something that we as Indigenous people of this hemisphere are really concerned about. We have droughts, fires, flooding, the disappearance of animals and insects. I mean, we are really in trouble. So raising the voices of Indigenous peoples during these times, it's vital. It's vital. It's also learning about some of the things that are happening within Indigenous communities. Land is a very serious piece right now. The destruction of land, the poisoning of water because of the fossil fuel industry. There was a big demonstration here in Washington, D.C., and it's still going on, where we are all concerned about what's happening in terms of President Biden's decisions about opening up parts of Alaska for drilling. I mean, this is serious. So the fossil fuel industries there again are just getting a little pat on the hand for some of the things that they've done all over this continent. Oil spills, pipelines. I mean, you know, there are a lot of things that need to be put out there on a regular basis so people will wake up and understand that we're all in this together. So with Indigenous peoples putting their lives on the line every single day to protect the water, to protect the earth and the air, if a lot of other people are not doing anything, then what will we have for the future, for the future generations? There's a quote that I'd like to share. My friend Kisa Tenemuk, who's a bundle keeper for the Wampanoag Nation, for the Mashpee Wampanoag people up in Massachusetts. And he said this in a book that he wrote back in the early 90s. The survival of all species depends on our grasping the significance of what was learned during the beginning times. And what we learned was this, that ceremony is life itself. It is the way we maintain balance and harmony with all our relations. It is the way we honor our ancestors and protect the earth for the yet unborn generation. I mean, sit with that for a minute. If we don't think about the future and we throw the present away and we don't even remember the past, then we're all doomed. That's exactly what we will have. So to talk about Indigenous Peoples Day, there are so many aspects and so many things that Indigenous Peoples Day. So basically, that's what I wanted to share today.
And Sister Penny, we thank you for your contribution to today's program. For people who would like to get in touch with you and your nation and how they can support you, how can they get in contact with you, Sister Penny?
They can go to Chappaquiddick. You know what? I better look that up. Chappaquiddick Tribe of the Wampanoag Nation. There is a website, and it's ChappaquiddickTribe.org, and you learn all about us and what we're doing. And we also have we are also on Facebook, and we are also on Instagram. It's better to go to the Instagram page because we have a lot of information about some of the things that we're dealing with up there on Chappaquiddick Island, which is located in Massachusetts, and it's a part of Martha's Vineyard. And it's a beautiful small island, not very big, about 6 miles long, eight miles wide. And that's where my mother's people come from. And my father comes from Alabama, and he was also of Choctaw heritage. And of course, African-American, that's that combination, that strong combination of coming from two continents. And I feel really good about that, standing strong on my Native and African roots and doing all I can as an elder to keep the stories alive and to protect Mother Earth, to inform and educate people about what's happening, and to work with the youth, because that's really part of our only hope. They need to know and understand the past and work very hard in the present so there'll be a future. But
and
thank
on
you
that
so
note,
much, Lee.
Mm-hmm. And we'd like to thank you for your contribution to today's program. As we continue to fill in on missing pages of history from voices of the Indigenous people, we thank you, Sister Penny. To continue this discussion of voices from Indigenous people, we will now bring in our African brother, Kamal Benjamin. We'd like to welcome him to MPH Radio. Brother Kamal, welcome to MPH Radio, and what is your voice as relates to the struggle of trying to institutionalized Indigenous People Day? Why is it important to African people? The mic is yours, Brother Kamal.
I say revolutionary greetings to you, Lee, Brother Jay Winter Night Wolf, Brother Red Cloud, and Sister Penny for their information and helping to enlighten your audience and all of us about the struggle of the Indigenous people since the invasion of Columbus into the New World, as they say. Columbus invaded, but as we understand, and it has been documented, Africans and Asians had been exploring the New World 500 years before Columbus, but they never came to explore it and settle in the New World. We call it the New World. They call it America, and we know why it was called America or named after the European American Vespucius. I think that the pronunciation is correct, but we call it the New World. And we know what and understand their struggle because we were brought here against our will, Africans. We have been struggling to liberate ourselves for the last 400 years. And we know and understand what the indigenous people have been struggling for since the invasion. We have been organizing African Liberation Day since the 70s. And we honor African Liberation Day, and we would like for all Africans to understand that. So we understand why we would be honoring Indigenous Peoples Day because of that. They are proud of their land and their heritage. And we support them. They have supported us also. We have worked and struggled with the American Indian Movement, AIM, when Brother Kwame Twave was alive. The Nation of Indigenous People, they supported us, and they marched with us on African Liberation Day. Brother Jacques Jouir, Wabanini, Russell Means, just to name a few, have supported African Liberation Day. We've marched to the Israel Embassy. This has been years ago, 40 years ago, to protest Zionism at the Israel Embassy and the South African Embassy from Malcolm X Park, where we always has in the past, have organized African Liberation Day. And as I stated, they have supported us throughout our struggle to liberate ourselves. So we can only do the same in supporting them on African Liberation Day. On Indigenous Peoples Day. It's not Columbus Day. Columbus was an invader. A racist invader when they came to the New World of some 500 years ago. They invaded, they explored it, and they enslaved the indigenous people. They brought Africans here to help work and till the land for 400 years, free labor for 400 years. So we know how hard and the indigenous people's struggle has been to liberate themselves and let the people know what their plight is and what their objective is for being here, and they will always be here. And we know that during their struggles, they have negotiated X number of treaties with the European settlers. And all of those treaties have been broken. So we know that the objective and the aim of the European settlers was to capture the land with all the riches, gold, silver, et cetera, that they were looking for. Because when they left Europe, they were emerging out of the dark Middle Ages. And they were looking for wealth to help them because they were, believe it or not, they were struggling and had wars with each other. So they wanted to emerge out of that doldrum and find new riches. So from Marco Polo to Columbus, and there have been many others, the conquistadors. course, we talk about North America, but in Latin America also. They rampaged and slaughtered indigenous people, the Incas, the Mayas, the Aztecs, just to name a few of those tribes. And I know Brother Night Wolf and Red Cloud and Sister Penny, they know all of this. But we, as a people, we want everybody to know. Our young people, they need to know the history. Because when I was coming through school, there was any mention of African history in the history books. All through university, wasn't any mention of African history until the Civil Rights Movement in the 60s emerged. So we know and understand their struggles. For people to understand who they are and why they're here and why they treasure this land that the Europeans have exploited. And used the land and the people up to this present day. So as stated again, over and over again, whenever they need support, we are there. I can remember just a few incidents, as I said, with African Liberation Day, but we had the pleasure of being invited, a number of us, Kwame Ture, and a number of us down to, I think it was Chappaquiddick, to have peace and the festival with them, and we even attended the sweat lodges. And that was an experience in itself that I tell my friends and youngsters about those experiences that we've had with the indigenous people. As it was stated, there should be Indigenous Peoples Day every day here on this continent and in Central and Southern America, as they call it, but we call it the New World. So we thank you, Lee, for having this program today. On Indigenous Peoples Day, and as we stated, we support you. We are the All African People's Revolutionary Party, GC, and as I say, we treasure our day, African Liberation Day. So we support you, my brothers and sisters, on Native American Day. We thank you.
Thank you, Brother Kamau, and the All African Peoples Revolutionary Party, GC. For our listening audience who would like to find out more information about that organization, we encourage you to visit our website, which is at www.aaprp-gc.org. Check that website out, and it may change your life forever. We will continue this discussion of Voices from Indigenous People Day by bringing on down a young man who was very, very, very instrumental in helping to establish and create this particular day in Washington, D.C. He has worked very hard, and we'd like to give people that flower while he's still living. We'd like to thank Brother John Steinbeck, and also we understand Sister Lucy Murphy played a very key role, important role, helping to make sure this particular institution and event took place this year. So right now, we're going to bring in our Brother John Steinbeck, and we'd like to welcome to MPH Radio. Welcome, Brother John.
Thank you, Brother Africa. It's a great honor to be here. Thank you for letting the indigenous voices be heard. Brother Jay, Brother Arthur, Sister Penny, and then Brother Camus on behalf of AAPRP-GC. For the record, Jay gave a tremendous statement on behalf of American Indian Movement, and Brother Camus also gave a history lesson when he spoke last Monday at Malcolm X Park. So I'm I just want to say that the D.C. community, the Mid-Atlantic, D.C., greater National Capital Area, you know, we've never observed Columbus Day. In fact, since the 1980s, we've been protesting Columbus Day. You know, pretty much every single Columbus Day, we're out there. We've been protesting, usually at Union Station at the big Columbus statue there. I have stories about that. This is the 29th anniversary, October 12th was the 29th anniversary of the 500th anniversary of Columbus and the League of Indigenous Sovereign Nations. Dr. Jawea and others, including myself, organized what Doc called the largest gathering of Native Americans in U.S. history. Over 1,000 people protested the United Nations on the 500th anniversary. It was a good protest. We were in coalition with People's Anti-War Mobilization, a whole bunch of other groups. It was a large coalition. We actually had Leonard Peltier call in from Leavenworth Prison and give one of the keynote addresses. Of course, this is the old days when, you know, there were you know, certain rights that federal prisoners had, and we all know, especially since 9/11, that those rights are gone. And, you know, speaking as someone who's been working with the Native American, federal Native American prisoners for almost 40 years, you know, it's our job has become increasingly difficult, but you know, the job is important to work with the Native brothers. In our case, we work with the men in the Iron House. So I wanted to say that, you know, Brother Africa, the others have really spoken to what I would have spoken to as a settler ally. So I want to touch on a missing page of history, and I want to, you know, invite you to be in touch with the community of Thoroughfare, because I want to talk about Thoroughfare. One of the major speeches was about Thoroughfare, and this is a small page but an important missing page that I think the audience needs to hear about. So I'm going to give a brief overview, and then maybe in future programs we can have some of the residents to talk, you know, from the heart about the disaster that they're facing. So if I can just give a little bit of history, and I'm not going to be very long on this, maybe 5 minutes max. So originally, Thoroughfare was called Thoroughfare Gap, and it was called that because it was part of a major Native American trail where Native Americans west of the Appalachian Mountains would come east in order to access the Iroquois Highway, which we now know as Route 15. The settlers, you know, developed it as Route 15, but way before Columbus, it was the major north-south route. So Native peoples west of the mountains used Thoroughfare Gap. And in fact, the early colonists called it Ye Indian Thoroughfare because it was so famous. And then in the early 1700s, the name changed. It became the Winchester-Dumfries Thoroughfare. So it was still Thoroughfare, but it became a wagon road to bring agricultural supplies from Winchester to Dumfries, which at that point in the late 1600s, early 1700s, was the largest port in the colonies. It was bigger than New York. It was bigger than Baltimore. So what happened then in the 1600s, beginning in the 1600s and into the 1700s, is that the Native Americans were driven out of Virginia and west of the Appalachian Mountains, and virtually all of them were. The recognized tribes that we know today only continued to exist because each of them were associated with various local Baptist churches. So most of the Native Americans were driven west of the mountains. And they could not live east of the mountains. So the community that was the furthest east where Native Americans were permitted was a community called Thoroughfare. It's in far western Prince William County, right up against Bull Run Mountain at Thoroughfare Gap. So what happened in the 1800s, in the mid-1800s, and then up to the Civil War, is that Prince William County became sort of a mecca, if you will, for freed enslaved residents who came north and made their homes in Prince William County. But of course, it was deeply segregated, so Native Americans were only permitted to live in, you know, 7 or 8 different communities and neighborhoods. And one of those neighborhoods was Thoroughfare. It was up against the mountains and land nobody wanted. So the African Americans joined with the Native Americans, and they founded the community, the modern community of Thoroughfare. And so I personally got to know the people of Thoroughfare back in the mid-1990s. That would have been 25 years ago, I guess. And that was when Walt Disney wanted to build a historical theme park smack dab on top of the town of Thoroughfare. So I met the people of Thoroughfare at that point. I was introduced to them by Sister Penny Williams and other Native American friends. And it was well known, and it's always been well known, that Thoroughfare is a Native American, African-American community. So the town of Thoroughfare developed. They had a store. They developed a school. And it was a thriving community of several hundred individuals. And then development happened, and the land was sold under shady circumstances. You know, distant cousins claimed to have deeds and sold the land out from under the people of Thoroughfare that were still living on the land. So what happened in the last several years is developers came in, bought large parcels of land in Thoroughfare, including the land on which the three major community cemeteries are situated. So one of those cemeteries that was located on land purchased by the Farm Brewery, a big tourist spot, that land was bulldozed. The owner did, the quote owner, unquote, without a permit, decided to clear the land and brought in bulldozers. So that cemetery was totally destroyed. Another cemetery that they call the Potter's Cemetery, the access was blocked off with surveillance cameras, a locked gate, and several gigantic boulders weighing several thousand pounds each. So the residents of Thoroughfare no longer had access to this cemetery. And this cemetery has gravestones going all the way back to the early 1800s. But most of the graves there are just field stones, marking headstones and footstones, but with no markings on the stones. And then the cemetery is the Fields Allen Cemetery. And this is a relatively modern cemetery by appearances, because one of the family members about 25 or 30 years ago spent a fortune bringing in modern tombstones, engraved tombstones to mark the graves. And this was purchased by another developer who plans to put up 5 or 6 McMansions on 5 acres of land and to put septic fields to within a few feet of the cemetery. So that's the situation. The people of Thoroughfare have organized with support from the community, widespread, broad support from the community, organized against this. They've been raising money, and they have a court case that's going to court on November 9th. They want to invite everyone to attend. I want to give the Facebook page, because it's an excellent page. It includes over an hour-long program that Brother Jay Nightwolf did. So if people go to on Facebook, and it's called the Coalition to Save Historic Thoroughfare, a Town Under Siege. But if you just go to Facebook and Coalition to Save Historic Thoroughfare. You'll get there. There's a number of videos up there, a lot of historical photos. It's a really good information source. So I want to encourage everyone who's listening to support the people of Thoroughfare, and let's make sure that this missing page of history is found. So having said that, Brother Africa, I really appreciate everything you do, and you know, let's stay in close touch.
And Brother John, we'd like to thank you for all the work that you have done and continue to do to make sure that humanity moves forward. We thank you, and at this point in time, we'd like to let our listening audience know that you're listening to MPH Radio, which is a community project of the organization Missing Pages of History, Inc. We come to say at this point in time, we do have open membership now where you can come and join and help us build this institution so we can become a tool for the unserved communities. We want to be a voice for our people, for the voiceless. And before we go to our session break, what we're going to do right now, we'd like to bring Penny Williams back one more time, and we'd like for her to at least to extrapolate or speak to this particular question, because a lot of times we got to be conscious of the power to define, the power of conception. Now, Sister Penny, you know, a lot of times when we talk about oppressed people history, it's normally written from the oppressor point of view. What we would like to ask you is if you could speak a little bit to this question as relates to your people and your people's daily historical struggles, is that what is the difference between the concept or the word tribe versus nation? How do your people view themselves when we talk about this question, the issue of tribe versus the concept of being a nation? What's your perspective on that, Sister Penny?
Okay, well, my people, the Chappaquiddick tribe, we are a community, and how it works is we are under the umbrella of Wampanoag, people of the First Light. So Chappaquiddick is the territory where we live. Just like on the mainland, the Mashpee Wampanoag. So you give the place of your people. So there, you know, there's the Herring Pond, the Mashpee, the Aquinna on Martha's Vineyard Island. So we all come under that umbrella. But here's the issue. I'll speak particularly about our people. Because of federal acknowledgement or federal recognition, it separates people. And can you hear me okay? Because my speaker just went off.
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, and so there's a separation in a sense, and it shouldn't be there, because the Chappaquiddick, we are recognized by the state of Massachusetts, but we've never gone through the process of getting federal recognition. So there are two federally recognized tribes in Massachusetts. That's the Mashpee Wampanoag on the mainland and the Aquinna Wampanoag on Martha's Vineyard. They occupy the western part of Martha's Vineyard. So unfortunately, that is kind of how this government, I guess, made things a little difficult for a lot of tribal communities that don't fall under the federal acknowledgement process. However, we are still all one, because our history shows how through genocide, through, you know, diseases, through land theft, through actually trying to erase us as a people because of the intermarriage. When you look at the Chappaquiddick, we descend from the original people, and then during the time of Africans coming here enslaved, when people escaped or when they gained freedom, they usually went to Indian territories. So many of us, our families intermarried, and they became a part of the Chappaquiddick tribal community. And it happened all throughout Rhode Island, Connecticut, Massachusetts, and on down to the South. A lot of people don't know that, but that's what happened. In some cases, it worked very well. In other cases, the pressure of trying to hold on to your indigeneity caused a lot of issues, and it got to that, you know, well, what does an Indian look like? Kind of situation. So, division in some respects, and yet unity, because we're all trying to hold on to our language, our cultural ways, going back to the stories, the oral history. So I hope that answered the question, but, you know, it's all connected. It's all connected in that way.
Thank you, Penny. At this point in time, this is MPH Radio. We're going to a station break with music with a message. And when we come back, we'll open up the phone line for those listeners who might have a question or would like to make a statement in support and being in solidarity with Indigenous People Day. We'll be right back. This is MPH Radio.
Get up, stand up, stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up, stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up, stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up, don't give up the fight.
People of the world, they are getting up and standing up and fighting for their rights. We welcome you back. to MPH Radio on the 16th day of October 2021 as we hear voices from Indigenous People Day. What we're going to do right now, we're going to open up for a few minutes for any of our listeners who might have any comments in solidarity with the Indigenous People Day. And you can call in at 818-337-0016. Hit 1, and we will acknowledge your last four numbers. We will acknowledge your last four numbers. So if you have any comments or questions that you would like to make in support of Indigenous People Day at this particular time, our phone line is open, 818-337-0016. Please hit 1 on your phone, and we will bring you in, call out your last four numbers. This is MPH Radio. Brother Alex, you've been listening to the program. What is your thoughts and takes on this question of Indigenous People Day? Brother Alex, the mic is yours. Okay. Yes, can you hear me, Brother Alex? I think we have some problems. With Brother Alex, we'll come back to him. What we're going to do, let's see if we have a problem with the technical board. Bear with us. Let's see if we can go to another caller. Let's go to get some comments from Susan for MPH Radio. Susan, see if we can bring you in. Your question or comments. Susie, you're not on. To our listening audience, bear with us. For some reason or another, we have problems with our board, which is outside of our control. From time to time, problems arise, and they be out of our control. We can't necessarily explain that to you. But, you know, like always, where there's struggle, there's progress. We are making our main progress today. And when you do that, you know, you can't expect everything to go smoothly. That's what this whole question of liberation is all about. So what we're going to do right now, we're going to go back to a station break with music with a message, and when we come back, we can see if we can resolve this problem. You're listening to MPH Radio, and remind you that this is a program that come on biweekly. Our next program will be on October the 30th at 1 p.m., same time, same station. If you'd like to hear this program and past program, please email us at mphradio@yahoo.com. And of course, if you want to be a supporter and friend of MPH Radio, you can email us and we can tell you how you can do this. We need your support. So we're going to take another break with music with the message, and when we come back, we can see if we can resolve this problem. As we said, freedom is not free. It doesn't come easy. Brothers, sisters, as you're listening, seems like something have now taken over our board, right out of control. We'll report this to the official entity that sponsors these programs to find out what we can do to prevent this from happening in the future. But what we're going to do right now, we're going to like to thank everybody, all our participants, all our listening audience, who allowed us to come to home this evening to bring voices from Indigenous People Day. We'd like to thank you for allowing us to come in your homes again. And we'd like to remind you that MPH Radio is a community project in Mississippi's history. Because of the pandemic going on, we are put most of our activities on hold, trying to be responsible. But meanwhile, we will do this show on every other biweekly. So we want you to tune in, spread the word, and we also need your support. So please, if you can support us and want to join us, help us build this institution, we are out to serve underserved communities and be the voice for these communities, or to be a voice for these communities. You know, one of the best ways to move forward is making sure our history is known. This is what Mississippi's history is bound and set out to do, and we're going to need your help and your support. So again, you can email us at mphradio@yahoo.com if you're interested in becoming a part of this family. So at this point in time, we'd like to thank you. We're going to close out and say, well, let's remember You always strive to go forward hour, backwards hour, and the best way to do this is come help join us and fill in our missing pages of history. We thank you for allowing us to come in your home today.